Reports of ongoing violence against West Papuan independence leaders are continuing to leak to international media. On Friday, the West Papuan National Committee, or KNPB, was raided by Australian-funded Counter-Terrorism Force Detachment 88, who allegedly attacked student dormitories and beat up and arrested students. Indonesian police blame KNPB for recent shootings in the region, but KNPB Chairman Victor Yaemo denies these allegations and says the military carries out violent attacks in order to suppress civilian dissent. The Wire's Anoki Shah caught up with Camelia Webb-Gannon, coordinator of the West Papua Project at the Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies, who said that the leaders of the KNPB willingly put themselves in danger in order to draw international attention to the ongoing human rights abuses.
Census 88 troops are partially funded and trained by Australia, and Australia obviously acknowledges this and says that they do have human rights training with as a component of the program, but they say that they aren't accountable for Census 88 troops necessarily. That's Indonesia's responsibility.
Has Census 88 taken responsibility for Marco Tibuni's death?
No, the Indonesian government has said that because the counter-terrorism force hasn't been working in West Papua, but there's been a lot of eyewitness accounts of Densus 88 being involved in the shooting of Marco Tibuni, in the killing of Kelly Kwalik, who is another prominent West Papuan independence leader, the recent death of the Papuan Affairs Coordinator at Freeport, and also in the crackdown at the Third Papuan Congress last October, when Indonesian troops started firing into the crowd that had gathered there.
Where does Australia stand in this whole situation?
Foreign Minister Bob Carr has called for an independent investigation into the killing of Marco Tibuni and has said that this is potentially a serious human rights abuse and it needs an investigation. Indonesia did not react positively to that and has basically told Australia to mind its own business. And about a week after Bob Carr made those statements, the Defence Minister Stephen Smith signed a defence cooperation agreement with Indonesia whereby Australia agreed to sell military hardware to Indonesia, and Stephen Smith said that I don't think that human rights abuses are of concern in Indonesia or in West Papua.
So would it be fair to say that the Australian government is actively funding anti-human rights activities within Indonesia through signing arms agreements?
Yeah.
And such activities?
I'd say that's spot on.
The escalation of violence in the past year, how is it affecting the morale inside that region?
The violence is ongoing. It has been a prominent feature of the Indonesian occupation of West Papua since the early 1960s. It's increasing now, I think, because there's new energy, there's new passion, there's new grassroots participation in West Papua amongst youth movements, especially like the West Papua National Committee or KNPB. In the past, they've said that they need their own East Timorese type Santa Cruz massacre, and that basically the frontline leaders of KNPB and other leaders are willing to put themselves in positions of danger to pursue their human rights, which means that they might be subject and probably will be subject to violence, as we've seen with the recent assassination of Marco Tibuni. This is a risk they're willing to take in order to be in the international spotlight and to get attention. And so bloodier and bloodier crackdowns can be expected in future.
So Victor Yaemo is the spokesperson for KNPB. He's in the limelight at the moment. Mm-hmm. Is his life a threat?
Well, I think if we look at what's happened with KNPB leaders in the past, we've got Marco Tibuni, the deputy chair, who was assassinated, then Bukta Tibuni, who is the chairperson for KNPB. He's been in and out of prison over the past few years, and 2 weeks ago was put back in prison for on vandalism charges. Victor has also been in prison in the past few years on pretty unsubstantiated charges. Now Victor is again in the limelight because the two other leaders are indisposed, I suppose. If we look at what happens to Papuan leaders, of course their lives are in danger. And Victor's probably not safe in West Papua. That's a sad fact of the West Papuan current political state of affairs.
Camelia Webb-Gannon, coordinator of the West Papuan Project at the Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies at the University of Sydney, speaking there with Anoki Shah.